I love the colorful clothes you wear, and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle moon on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up her vibration. She's giving me the excitation. I'm picking up.
Hello, I'm Solazar. And welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies. And in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the promoter and producer of the Rota Psychic Fair, returning to the Monterey Fairgrounds October 21st and 22nd. Go to rotapsychicfair.com, sign up for the email list, and stay informed of our upcoming events, like our quarterly preview coming up at the Elks Lodge in Monterey, June 30th. From 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Friday night. So we'll have Joyce Muse doing astrology, Carolani doing numerology, and Cherie Greek doing the tarot as a preview of what's coming up in the quarter going forward. So visit goodvibrationsradio.com for more information about the quarterly preview at the Elks Lodge Friday evening, June 30th. Well, here we are. It's Memorial Day. We're at the end of May. May was a month of creativity in a year about the individual and individuation. It's about the year of the self, of knowing yourself better. And it's been a challenging year for just about everyone I know, because as we start exploring ourselves, we start uncovering things that are both good and not so good. We start expressing ourselves in ways that may be challenging, aggressive, assertive, but it's a different change of who we were just a year ago. So it's important as we go through this challenge and we come to the end of this month of creativity, that we're once again examining ourselves to find out what is real and what is unreal. And out of the real, what is important and what is not important. As most of you know, I like to share from Day by Day with James Allen in each show. Now, in 1903, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh. The title came from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which said, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The premise of As a Man Thinketh is that our reality is a direct creation of our past thoughts, intentions, habits, and beliefs. Where we are right now, regardless of external circumstances, is based on all the choices, all the thoughts, all the directions, intentions, and habits that we have put into play from our past. However, our future is not predestined by those past thoughts, actions, habits, and beliefs. Our future is created fresh. Every day, we have an opportunity to shift our patterns, our habits, our beliefs, our intentions, and create a new future. And in Day by Day with James Allen, its words have been broken up into a little segment for each day of the month. For the 29th day of the month, he says, control your destiny. A person is literally what he thinks, his character being the complete sum of all of his thoughts. Think about it. You are a complete sum of all of your thoughts. So if there are things that are manifested in your life that you don't like, it's a question of changing your thoughts. What are you doing to help attract more of what you don't want? What are you doing to not attract more of what you do want? And it's about our thoughts and our beliefs. You know, negative patterns of thinking lead to more negativity and expression. So it's finding a way also to be more positive, more upbeat, more mindful, and more in the moment each and every day that allows us to accept what comes our way without seeing everything as the end of the world. So don't allow your thoughts to dictate your future unless you're consciously creating the thoughts for the purpose of dictating that future. One of the things I do to help shift thoughts is use the daily word every day. And yesterday's daily word said, I am designed to see light and love. There is no greater image for all of us to imprint in our minds every day than that we are designed to see light and love. You are designed to see light and love. And for today, it says, I pause and pay tribute to all who have acted in service of others. Since this is Memorial Day, I'll touch more on that in a little bit. But keep in mind that each of us were born divine. And the journey of life is us finding the best way to express our light out into the world. So allow yourself to be the best expression of yourself in your interactions. And for any interaction where you feel you are not the best expression of yourself, then allow yourself to forgive yourself and resolve to do it better in the next encounter. I had that experience just last week with something on Facebook with someone that I have no idea where they were coming from or why they reacted the way they did. And I had one last night on something where I was placing an order from a website, and the individual's reaction to this moment still has me a little stunned and confused. That being said, my role is not to defend or to be right. My role is to send them blessings and disengage from anything that's creating a conflict. I don't need to avoid conflict, but I need to recognize that sometimes conflict is the drama the other person needs in order to clear their expression, and we don't have to be willing participants in it. A lot of that's an outcome of the astrological influences we've been undergoing through the past several weeks. For instance, last Thursday's new moon in Gemini pushed us to go into new directions, especially directions that you've been planning or already working on. So I hope you took some time to enjoy the push and energy of this new moon. And we followed on the same day with Venus and Aries squaring Pluto and Capricorn. So as you know, a square is a fight. So the planet of love was arguing with the planet of transformation. So last week, relationships were up for grabs. Now, Gemini energy, which we're in, which is where our sun is, it's where Mercury is, it's where Venus is. It's about two sides of the personality, Gemini. It's about both sides of one personality. And the key element of this transit with Venus and Aries squaring Pluto and Capricorn is to examine what is missing within, not what's missing in your partner, your friend, or your family member. It's all about examining what's missing inside you. Where are you still wounded? Where are you still reacting defensively from? So I hope last week you were able to take some time for your inner reflection versus external challenge and drama with others. And this is where I was saying earlier, this is where I disengage. Right now, the energy being what it is, If I have created the drama, I disengage, and I will apologize. If others have created the drama, I will disengage and hope that they will apologize. But if they don't, it's okay. It's not really a reflection on them as a person. It's only a reflection of where they are at the moment. So if you had a relationship that was coming to an end as a result of these transits, it's because it was already in trouble. And Gemini wants you to leave your relationships as friends. So whatever occurred last week with your relationships, this week, focus on restoring friendship, restoring connection. Now, Saturday, Mars in Gemini opposed Saturn in Sagittarius. And in that fight, we know that Mars doesn't like to hold its tongue, but Saturn demanded that we deal with things internally, not externally. So one of the many benefits of astrology is that the planets never try to punish you. They want to teach you. And at times they could be more firm in their approach, but usually because you aren't listening. So the transits are meant to show us where we still have work to do. So if you're feeling nerves from Saturday's transit of Mars and Gemini opposing Saturn and Sagittarius, it's your nerves that you're feeling, not the planetary aspect. If your nerves were pulled on Saturday, go back to what I've been saying all year and look at your wounding. See what triggers the wounding in you and work on that. Now, remember the Hawaiian art of forgiveness, ho'oponopono, of I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. That's the blessing we give to ourselves repeatedly when something has occurred. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And also remember the discussion that we had last week and the week before about radical forgiveness. And the premise of radical forgiveness is that whatever you've done to me, one, is I don't take it personal, but I take it as offering to me a lesson from which I can learn. So keep that in mind. Contrary to what was said, and I discussed that last week, it's not a question of saying to somebody else, well, I did nothing wrong. Sorry, that's aggressive. That's actually drama. That's actually creating conflict. It's for us to recognize that whatever was done to us was not necessarily somebody doing something wrong, but is really about the wounding for us to examine ourselves and determine how best to heal that wounding. So this has been a good time the last week or so to focus on completion and to add more fuel to your inner fire. So Saturday's transit, thanks to Saturn, gives us the patience to complete our projects. And Mars gives us the strength and persistence to do it. So just remember to breathe and don't hurt anyone along the way. Tomorrow, May 30th, Mars in Gemini will sextile Uranus in Aries. Now, a sextile is a harmonious walk with the planets involved. Uranus wants change and revolution. And Mars is the fuel to the Uranian fire. Now, fortunately, this is a sextile, which means the sextile energy can chaperone all the fuel and all the fire. But this transit will tell you not to settle for the mundane and the routine. You won't want to settle for the same old routine, the same old way of doing things. Tomorrow will show you how to be creative, that you can, as creative as you can be, and that there are no mental restraints to what you're trying to do. So think genius ideas, think genius solutions, have great and new conversations and engagements, and have fun as you move from May into the adventurous month of June, which is coming up very, very quickly. Those are the ideas for today and for this week. I'd like to now shift to this whole premise of Memorial Day. Memorial Day is for remembering those who died while serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. Veterans Day is for honoring all who are in uniform. During Memorial Day, many people attend events, they visit cemeteries and memorials to honor those who have died. An American flag is placed on the grave of each deceased service member in national cemeteries. Now, the practice of decorating soldiers' graves with flowers is an ancient custom. You know, annual decoration days for particular cemeteries are still held on a Sunday in late spring or early summer in some areas throughout the country, even with Memorial Day. But Memorial Day is an outgrowth of many different celebrations that occurred, and after the Civil War, the sheer number of dead soldiers from both sides led to a cultural importance to honor the deceased soldiers from the North and South. In 1865, the federal government began creating national cemeteries for the Union war dead, and by the 20th century, the Union and Confederate memorial traditions merged, and Memorial Day eventually extended to honor all Americans who died while in the military service. The unofficial start of Memorial Day is always in dispute, but on May 26, 1966, President Lyndon Johnson signed the proclamation naming Waterloo, New York, as the official birthplace of Memorial Day. The United Daughters of the Confederacy were strikingly successful at raising money at the turn of the last century to build Confederate monuments, lobbying legislators and Congress for the reburial of Confederate dead, and working to shape the content of history textbooks. Memorial Day endures as a holiday, which most businesses observe because it marks the unofficial beginning of summer. On Memorial Day, the flag of the United States is raised briskly to the top of the staff and then solemnly lowered to the half-staff position where it remains until noon. And then at noon, it's raised to full staff for the remainder of the day. The half-staff position remembers the more than 1.2 million men and women who gave their lives in the service of their country. And at noon, when it returns to the top of the staff, their memory is raised by the living who resolve not to let their sacrifice be in vain. As many of you know, the National American Legion sells remembrance poppies as their official symbol of remembrance. And in honor of Memorial Day, we're asked at 3 p.m. local time to give a moment of silent remembrance for those who have fallen. The Monterey Bay Partisan is a local blog paper that shares a lot of thoughts of independence and progressive thinking. And Larry Parsons wrote a wonderful blog called To Honor the Fallen, Let's Make Sure We Truly Know Why We Sent Them to Fight. As he says in his article, baseball teams wear khaki and camouflage hats and jerseys today when they play. Sunny beaches are packed with summer's here crowds, and newspaper columns chew over the serious meaning of the day. And in every town, cemetery lanes are lined with flags, alongside weather-beaten markers and others engraved far too recently, eyes filled with tears, chests heaved with sobs, and trembling hands reached to hold ghosts in the living air. Fallen U.S. service members are to be remembered this Memorial Day for doing their duty and the ultimate sacrifice it extracted from them. As a people, we must cherish those who give of themselves for a greater good. Sincere prayers of gratitude are deserved, but they're not enough. As a people in a country in its 16th year of an ever-shifting war on terror, we must also pray for wise citizens and wise leaders who truly understand the greater good before, as politicians often say, sending our troops into harm's way. In recent weeks, American servicemen have died in Syria, Yemen, and Somalia. Since 1945, when World War II ended, tens of thousands of U.S. troops have died in wars and military incursions in Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, Grenada, Lebanon, Panama, and other hotspots. What were the national goals, the greater good served by their deaths? In many cases, these questions are still debated by historians and veterans alike. 50 years ago, the question that tore through American society was, why are we in Vietnam? Today, no one outside of professional military ranks and national security symposia wonders, what are we doing in Yemen? Or why do we remain in Afghanistan? You know, in 1968, Richard Nixon won the presidency running in part on a promise of a secret plan to bring American troops home from Vietnam. Last year, President Donald Trump boasted at campaign rallies of his secret plan to defeat the extremist Islamic State. While under increasing political fire over the Russia scandal, the president has quietly increased the number of U.S. troops in Syria by several hundred and intensified air attacks on Syrian and Iraq fronts against ISIS. He'll soon decide whether to give his generals more troops to battle the Taliban and ISIS in Afghanistan, his bellicose words grow against Iran. Unlike the widespread outcries over the Vietnam and Iraq wars, the American public seems largely mute or plain disinterested as the metastasizing war on terror keeps growing into a third presidency. If we as a people do not understand why we send our sons and daughters to war, we fail our most important civic duty. We won't be worthy to stand at their graves on future memorial days. In early June 1969, Larry Parsons' father received a letter from one of his younger brothers, a conservative Southern California businessman who had voted for Nixon the previous year. That month, 1,254 U.S. troops died in Vietnam, 2,954 were seriously wounded. Between tidbits about family and friends, his uncle wrote, "This war situation pains me greatly. It seems so utterly useless. I'd hoped Nixon would do something, but then I knew down deep it would be more of the same. You cannot help but wonder how God in heaven can let such a horrible thing go on and on and on. I just can't understand why it has to be this way." Today, as always, we must add understanding to our prayers, our memories, and our paeans to the fallen, if we're to make proper memorials for their lives. So I ask all of us to remember those who gave, and not only that, did they really give for the greater good, or did they give for the smaller intention of just extending force in the world? This concludes our show today. Good Vibrations will be back Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. In honor of fallen service members, I offer this closing musical tribute with vocals from Jim Nabors. Thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. Turn the lead in your life into gold. Remember to do your remembrance today. Many blessings. Namaste.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling up the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. Hallelujah.